Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on over to another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. If you came over here simply because you clicked on the thumbnail and were like, man, that's funny. I can't even do this tonight. What I ended up doing was I asked AI to create an image of David Smith if he had Down syndrome and wearing a Palestinian t-shirt. And that's what it ended up coming up with. I know there's a lot of people that are going to tell me that I'm being insensitive and everything else, but there is a dang good reason why I did it. And before we get into the entire freaking show for this evening, I'm just going to kick this sucker off with something that is very fitting, in my opinion. Very, very fitting of the entire show that we have coming up. Yeah, I've got pants on. I see you guys down there. I've got my pants on. Hold my Quran. I got to play this ad for you.
IDS is not a joke. Israel derangement syndrome is real and a very serious illness. It's attacking some of the most washed up, ugly, desperate influencers out there, turning them into ranting, Jew-hating conspiracy machines. This isn't just a trend, it's a condition. Do you feel an unshakable urge to blame Israel for things beyond its reach, like bad traffic, or that one time your phone died at 80% battery? Does the mention of Jews or Israel spark a tightness in your chest, a flare of rage you can't quite explain, or worse, an uncontrollable rant on X you just can't stop?
They killed Kennedy!
Have friends or family pulled away, whispering that you've changed since you started sharing those hidden truth videos about Israel running the world? Do you lie awake at night, haunted by thoughts of Zionist conspiracies, like maybe they're behind your Wi-Fi dropping or your bank account in the minus? Have you found yourself defending wild theories, like Israel controlling the weather, just to feel right, even when your heart knows it's nonsense? That tug of war inside is real. Do you lose hours or days scrolling rabbit holes, chasing proof that Jews are the root of all evil, only to feel emptier than before? If you answered yes to any of these, you're not alone and you're not lost. IDS is real, it's heavy, and it's stealing your peace. But at IDS Therapy, we've helped voices like Candace Owens, Andrew Tate, Ian Carroll, and even Kanye West find their way back. Call 1-800-IDS-CURE or visit IDStherapy.com. Healing starts with one brave step. Come join us to see what treatment fits you best, whether it's a prescription for our anti-Semitic pain relief or our anti-Jew juice.
I can't, dude. I couldn't even have a serious freaking face for tonight because of the amount of crap that I have lined up for you guys. It's been a while since I just kind of said, you know what? We're going to have a good time. There's so much BS going on in the world. We're going to have a good time. We're going to cover the Dallas, Texas school shooting. Believe me, we're going to take care of that. We're also going to cover Steve Witkoff, and we're going to cover a couple other things as well. But for the love of God, you got to be able to laugh with all this nonsense going on.
Got you covered. It's time to let the Jews pay you back for all the days and nights they have been living in your mind rent-free. And remember, your president is a Zionist.
Thank you. Like, I literally, I think it was the day before. So Sunday evening, I was driving back home and I was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put on an X debate and I'm going to listen in. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to listen to people to debate. And there was this thing that it was called debate stage. And I went in there and there was a guy spitting so much garbage, I couldn't help myself. I had to jump in. And so I listened to this guy ramble for a really long time. I'd go and I'd throw a bunch of facts and I'd back off. And eventually I just asked him, I was like, hey, man, is it okay if I ask you two simple questions? Really short, really easy, not a trap. I was like, do you believe that the state of Israel has a right to exist? And he goes, yeah. And I said, okay, do you believe that Israel has a right to defend itself? And he goes, well, yeah. I go, well, congratulations, you're a Zionist. And his freaking head about exploded. He was like, no, there's no way. That's what that means. It can't possibly be. Like, yeah, brother, exactly. Like, that's exactly what it is. He's like, no, that can't possibly. I'm like, look, dude, how can you come in here and throw the word Zionism around the way that you have as if it's some sort of a horrible thing when it quite literally is something that you believe in? Quite literally something that you believe in. And people have lost their dang minds here in the United States of America over the dumbest crap. I don't even know what this guy that I'm about to show you has lost his dang mind about, but I guarantee you it's something along those lines. It's either Israel or Ukraine. Promise you one of the two things, Israel or Ukraine. Get ready for it. He got it twice. Oh, buddy, those are the Taser 7s too, man. Those things are no fun. Danny Goland coming in, gifting out his Speak the Truth membership. Tom, a.k.a. Bones, coming in. He says, does the cleaning lady still have a job? Yeah, she's still employed. I'm glad everybody picked it up. Somebody this morning was like, dude, when did Matt switch over to the heifers? That's not what happened. That's a freaking ridiculous. Scott Bevins coming in, gifting out his Speak the Truth membership as well. Greatly appreciate every single one of you guys. And Matt Borgeson. Listen to me, Matt. Listen to me, other Matt. Idiocracy is real. We're going to end up replacing all of our water with Gatorade in third grade math will be the norm. Dude, I hate to say it. Even as I sit here and I give this guy crap for the amount of garbage that he did, can we take a minute and appreciate the amount of stripes that are represented by the law enforcement officers here and how poor their taser deployments are in this incident? Like, can we actually look right here? There is a physical disturbance and clearly none of these officers can handle themselves physically in this scenario. Like, they couldn't do it. This guy gets knocked down to the ground. This other guy goes to grab him. He's not even doing a very good job. And they're all trying to figure out what the hell to do with this dude. And then this guy, he's already got his taser out. Clearly he has the ability to deploy it, but he doesn't. Could have entered it right there, but he doesn't. And then as they get going, finally, this guy's back out. Perfect opportunity to tase the guy. He's already shown his ability and willingness to commit violence. And they still didn't subdue the guy. So they wait. Perfectly good shots all over the place. Not a single taser deployed. Okay, I'm going to go hands-on again, even though I've already proven I can't do it. Oh, no, I can't even go hands-on. Now I'm going to tase you. And then this dude, this other sergeant that didn't have the balls to pull the trigger before, just ran like, oh, desk pop. Ends up freaking popping him. For the love of God. Well, at least they finally got him under control. Not to criticize law enforcement or anything, but yeah, you know I'm going to do it. Fox McCloud, it seems like foreign propaganda and manipulation to get us to turn on our allies. It clearly true for Ukraine. Yeah, 100%. Absolutely. And that's what I've been trying to tell everybody. Every time you hear something about like the corruption over inside of Ukraine, or Trump's inability or unwillingness to support them, or that Trump ends up calling them like and saying that Ukraine was responsible for everything when clearly last night he ends up saying that Putin started it. But God forbid, like, Zelensky own any part of it, right? Like, God forbid Zelensky have any responsibility in that whatsoever, or freaking Biden have any responsibility in that whatsoever. As we'll sit there and we'll freaking rag on Burisma forever. Right. We can go over that. We can go over freaking, you know, his crackhead son and everything else. But God forbid we bring up anything to do with anybody else's fault or responsibility other than Putin.
Anyways, let me digress. I know I probably lost a bunch of you guys right there. Like 10 of you guys are back there smashing your freaking unsub button right now. You guys are so offended by that statement. But Dallas School District ended up having a shooting today. It originally came out as a giant mass shooting, and then it ended up getting dumbed down into one guy ends up getting shot in the leg. Lots of videos came out. I ended up having a bunch of DMs. Dude, I had call sign Texas over in Ukraine DM me and be like, bro, another school shooting over in Texas. Don't worry about it, because they're going to figure out a way to bait you in and make you think that this is somehow race related. You watch. Yep, sure is. Five ambulances right there. Now, I'm just going to do you a favor and read off what Grok says the demographics are for this school. I already told you what happened. I told you how many people ended up getting injured and what ended up taking place there. So, yeah, let's just go over that portion of it real quick. In total, right now, it appears that it has 949 students. The racial ethnic composition, Hispanic, about 50%. Blacks compose of about 45.5%. Asians are about 1.5%. White people account for less than 1%. Mixed race, less than white people. American Indian, Alaskan Native, less than half a percentage point. And there is actually more Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders there than there is white people. No, I read that wrong. That can't be right. No, way less. There's only two of them there at that school. Look, anyways, when you end up breaking it down, there's 498 males, 451 females. Why do I bring that up? Because over in Frisco, Texas, about 30, 45 minutes up the road from this location, there was a stabbing where everybody had to turn it in to some sort of a racial issue, when I had already pointed out the fact that it had nothing to do with race at that particular location. And that it had everything to do with a bunch of overprivileged freaking kids living in gated communities that are all like idolizing the wrong thing. And yet now we have white supremacists that are pointing that. I can't make this shit up. White supremacists that are pouring into that town now because of it. Dude, good luck walking down the street in Frisco. And like, you could honestly, in Frisco, Texas, you could leave the keys in your car at like the nearest grocery store, and somebody would probably run up and tell you that the damn thing's still running. Like, you could have a gun sitting on your dash with the keys in the car and walk into the store and come back out, and probably nobody's going to touch it, along with like your freaking purse, your wallet, and all your shit. Nobody's going to mess with it. It is the weirdest thing that I've ever seen in my life. And yet people want to make it seem as if there's some weird race war that's going on over there in that town. And that's not it. It's literally the stupidity of the people. Now, yesterday, Steve Wycoff and his like ingenious freaking, you know, mind ended up talking about how in his meeting that he ended up having over the weekend with Iran was saying that they are going to be enriching uranium down to, what is it, 3.6%. Like, he's okay with that, but they got to figure out a way to make it happen and everything else. Well, very first thing this morning, no kidding, very first thing this morning, 8:52 a.m., right before I went live, he ends up making this statement over on Twitter. He says, a deal with Iran will only be completed if it is a Trump deal. Any final arrangement must be set a framework for peace, stability, and prosperity in the Middle East, meaning that Iran must stop and eliminate its nuclear enrichment and weaponization program. It is imperative for the world that we create a tough, fair deal that will endure. And that is what President Trump has asked me to do. Well, you kind of screwed the pooch on that one last night, Steve. Just throwing that out there. You can't go on Fox News and state the different things that you did when clearly what you stated would not have led to that. And we know that because we have historical evidence to prove it. So Steve Wycoff totally screwed the freaking pooch on that one. But White House also ends up coming and made his statements. Now, I ended up saying that first thing this morning. One of the first things out of my freaking mouth was like, Steve Wycoff ended up making some dumb statements. He's an idiot. I don't know why I have him there. As a matter of fact, before he even went into that debate, I was like, or before he went into that negotiation, I was like, can we not find somebody better? I don't like the decisions that this guy has made in the past. Can we not find somebody better? And then he goes on Fox News and embarrasses himself and the country and makes it seem like we're all a bunch of freaking idiots. Anyways, White House also today ended up coming out with a proper response.
Could you, just going back to El Salvador, could you just explain to us a little bit more about the legal basis on which you may be able to send U.S. citizens to prison there?
Oh, wait a minute. You said President
Trump is looking at it, but can you explain to us a little bit more about how that might be possible?
We're looking at it, and when I have more for you to share, I certainly will. Sure.
Could you just...
I forgot. White House is also looking because they got yelled at. It's just such a smaller thing. I'm not even sure how it made it my sack, but White House is also looking at getting rid of all that crap. Like they're looking at legal ways to deport people because the MS-13 guy got ordered to come back to the States and Trump's like, nope, there's a law to make it freaking go away and all of the other crap. And he's going to be dealing with it. Sorry, wrong clip. Moving on. Also, Trump's really happy. He's celebrating the fact that the Navy is at its highest recruiting in forever. He said since 2002, I believe. So listen, we talked the other day about the vice president going up over into Greenland and how he ended up like just getting apparently pissing everybody on the base off, according to the freaking base commander, that female that said like, hey, the vice president's policy isn't our policy or whatever the hell it was that she ended up writing in that Alcon email that she blasted out to everybody. Well, yeah, that ended up getting rescinded, and the actual facts speak for themselves. The amount of people that have ended up joining the United States military since they ended up taking office, I think, speaks volumes. When they started putting in all of these liberal-ass policies, which is what gets us all these freaking radical freaking Palestinian supporters and freaking nut jobs that are out there in the world right now causing all this like destruction over here in the United States, when they started doing that stuff, our recruiting numbers went in the tank. Went absolute tank. We're like missing our goals for years. And now Trump comes out and he makes this announcement.
The spirit of our military has soared to new heights. Today, I'm proud to announce that in February, the U.S. Navy had its best recruiting numbers since 2002. That's a long time ago. And under my administration, the Navy is on track to have the best recruiting year since the start of the war and the war on terror. But going back further than that, probably 25 to 30 years.
Oh, great. So we've got everybody coming back in. There you go. There's Orange Man Bad coming up and telling you guys that he's ended up saying it. Now let's get back over to Steve Witkoff and the Middle East. Here is actually what the White House had to say in response to Steve Witkoff's madness.
I do want to answer your question on Iran, of course. The maximum pressure campaign on Iran continues. But as you know, the president has made it clear he wants to see dialogue and discussion with Iran while making his directive about Iran never being able to obtain a nuclear weapon quite clear. And the president spoke to the Sultan of Oman today, who helped facilitate these talks. I have a readout for all of you. He held a call with the Sultan of Oman today, and he thanked him for hosting the first direct meeting between the United States and Iran and emphasized the need for Iran to end its nuclear program through negotiations. The two leaders also discussed the United States' ongoing operations against the Houthis and emphasized that the Houthis will pay a severe price until they end their attacks on maritime traffic in the Red Sea. As you know, an additional negotiation between Steve Witkoff and Iran's representative has been scheduled for Saturday. And since these are ongoing negotiations, I have nothing more to add on that.
You notice how she adds in there, and as you all know, you know, the ongoing negotiations for Steve Witkoff are going to take place on Saturday. That's why she ended up making that statement, because when we went on Fox News last night, he totally screwed the pooch. And the way he went about stating it, everybody was like, WTF, that is exactly what we've been dealing with this whole time. And I think it's one of those things where I hope I'm wrong. But again, I said that the guy's an idiot. And I don't like him a long time ago. So part of me is like, I hope I'm wrong. But at the same time, there's a reason I ended up stating that. I could easily see that guy going in there, and Steve Witkoff could have quite bitterly been the reason for the next nuclear war. He could have been the reason for World War III. He could have been the reason for a lot of stuff, which would be coming up. Because if the United States actually said that stuff was okay in that meeting, and Steve Witkoff is over there as the U.S. representative, and he claimed that Iran could do those particular things. Well, if we go back on our word now, because that's what we want, what's going to happen? We're going to end up in a freaking war because of it. Incog Faraday coming in, giving out 5 Speak the Truth memberships. But it just wasn't the White House press secretary that felt the need that they had to clarify the U.S. policy over inside of the Middle East. No, no, no. The Department of State also had to come out and make a statement on it.
And constructive. And the sides agreed to meet again next Saturday. Our goal remains clear. In the words of Ambassador Witkoff, quote, a deal with Iran will only be completed if it is a Trump deal. Any final arrangement must set a framework for peace, stability, and prosperity in the Middle East, meaning that Iran must stop and eliminate its nuclear enrichment and weaponization program. It is imperative for the world that we create a tough yet fair deal that will endure, and that is what President Trump has asked me to do.
Well, all fine and dandy that she quoted Steve Witkoff today, but she could have easily quoted the crap that he said last night. And I think this is most Americans' issues when it comes to this current administration. It is one thing to make a statement like that today and say today's statement trumps yesterday's statement. It's another thing to say that Steve Witkoff misspoke. He made a mistake. He shouldn't have said the things that he said. He was in no place to make the statement that he said. He was in no place to make that deal. That deal should have came from Donald Trump himself. And we are looking at possibly delaying this another week until we get somebody else out there to replace his ass. Because that's definitely not the stance that the United States of America wants to take on it all. Now, this next video that I have for you is coming out of Gaza. It's just one in particular that I think is pretty cool. A lot of stuff exploding, a lot of things going boom. And allegedly, we ended up having 7 terrorists getting schwacked. What are they yelling about anymore? I thought these bombs were dropping 24/7 and they'd be used to it by now. It's like they're over there, like just shouting about it, like it was going to change something. But let's go ahead and analyze this blast like we do everything else. And we don't even have to listen to the boom on it. Well, maybe we'll listen to the boom and then I'll show you guys something else is coming in there. Daniel Sawyers looks like coming in, becoming a true supporter. Welcome to the house. Good, sir. And Anthony Vias just randomly dropping in $2. Greatly appreciate you, buddy. Really, really do. Two-tone boom. No, it couldn't have been a two-tone boom. That would mean that there's some sort of explosives or something in there. Oh, no, there was two booms, wasn't there? And what's really funny is when I pause this, literally right when I pause it, you can see two very distinct differences. You see a lot of heavy black smoke, and then you see all the dirt coming out of it. But what's even more is I want you guys to notice where that explosion is taking place. You guys see where the buildings are at. You blow this up big on your screen. See how the buildings kind of end right here, and you see how this area more or less is an open area right down here at the bottom. And then take a look at how that blast is going upward and out. Upward initially, and then slowly out from there. And then I want you to take a look at that big, dark, black plume right in the frickin' middle of this blast. Now, what, oh, what, in addition to the two bangs, do you think actually occurred there? Do you think maybe they went over and targeted some more Hamas munitions, another Hamas position, all of those freaking nut jobs? I absolutely think it's true. John Spencer ended up writing me a little bit earlier tonight, right around the time I sat down to eat dinner. And he went on Piers Morgan and ended up debating Dave Smith. Yeah, and the reason I'm bringing this up is because you guys asked me the other night to look into the Dave Smith Douglas Murray debate that took place over on Joe Rogan. I noticed the other day, John Spencer and Dave Smith were kind of going back and forth in a little online debate that they had going on there. And I got kind of curious and I started reading through a lot of it. And John was making some very, very valid points in every single thing that he was stating. Well, this interview ended up coming out with John Spencer tonight. And at the same time that this interview ended up dropping, like literally within hours of each other, of these interviews dropping, we ended up having another Douglas Murray interview that ended up coming out as well. And when you know it, we're going to go over two different parts. And it's not even worth it. I mean, maybe it is worth it to go over the John Spencer one, or I'm sorry, to go over the Piers Morgan, John Spencer one. But it's another thing that we're going to go and we're going to look at, like this pompous ass, like actually talking high about himself because the idiots that are like going along with him. There is a reason the thumbnail is the way it is tonight. Because the name of this channel is Speak the Truth, and it's high time that we come out and we actually start targeting some of these people and letting everybody know that just because you state things doesn't mean they're facts. And that still makes you a pompous ass for not being able to humble yourself and go back and take a look at them. At least when I like have a stance on something, I have some facts that I could put behind it or some life experience that I can put behind it. But when you take a position from feelings and then you bounce back and forth between law and feelings and you use law when it suits you and you use feelings when it suits you, and then you throw in a human factor, forgetting that humans actually are the ones that end up writing the dang laws in the first place, well, we've got a little bit of a problem. Let's just give a little short listen.
And this is, to me, the essence of the point of why I talk about war in this way, is that when you, because if you don't think about it this way, it ends up being very easy to find other justifications, you know, justifications like Hamas must go. You know, Hamas must go. It's like, whoa, hold on, wait a second. I kind of think Hamas must go. I kind of think the Likud party must go. I definitely think Kim Jong-un must go. And this is, to me, the...
That within itself is that whole straw man fallacy. You're going to take a bunch of things from other places, things that truthfully on face value might look like they would go together and they make sense, but in reality, they don't. They really don't. And they ended up taking him and they ended up like platforming him. And at first, you know, when I was listening to Douglas Murray the other night and Douglas Murray was talking about he flat out called Joe Rogan. Like, Joe, why the hell are you platforming some of these people? You're platforming him as if they're experts on these subjects and they are not. And then they come back on and they go on mainstream freaking outlets. I understand that Piers Morgan's doing his own YouTube channel, his own stream thing. But I'm still going to call it a mainstream outlet because Piers Morgan is a household name in most places in the United States of America. Yeah, I'm wearing pants and you guys don't even have to call me out on it. You guys can see them right here. See those calves? Yeah, baby. Why? Why are we continuing to platform these people? Why? Well, let's give a listen. Because, you know, I happened to find the other day right here. And I'm just going to fast forward to the part where he gets done getting his freaking pee-pee sucked by the host and stuff like that when they go on. And we're just going to give a listen to, like, the freaking, again, what I would call a pompous ass response by this guy. We're going to listen to a short bit of it. Where's the volume? Where's the volume?
You know, on the other side of nearly 3 hours of this and now seeing some of this past lived experience argumentation from him.
Well, I wish that guy was there at the debate. He did a better job than I did. It's funny. So once I saw this, it's because I brought up my first thing was like, oh, you never been in Nazi Germany, but you could still have an opinion about that. And then I was like, oh, he made the same point. He made it better than me. Yeah, you know, like, yeah, exactly. A lot of people have written about it and explained it better than people who actually lived through it. I mean, look, it's.
And Dave. You've got to understand those people that have written about it and explained it better than the people that have been through it have actually taken the time to study the subject in order to write about it. And you admitted time and time again on Pierce's show. Well, you didn't admit it. You just ignored it. Every time that John asked you, what research have you done? What analytical data have you actually came across to validate your ridiculous claims? And not one time did you actually come up with a logical response. The only quasi-ish data that you actually presented was talking to some Palestinian woman complaining about hearing children crying in a rubble, which again is a known fact. It's called collateral damage, Dave. Collateral damage. You can literally look up the definition. Children dying in rubble, whether people realize it or not, is a byproduct of warfare. And John Spencer pointed it out in his freaking interview with him. Flat out pointed it out. Find me a war where this hasn't happened. Find me one where it hasn't happened. And he hasn't pointed it out yet. This pompous ass is going to sit here and throw this out there. And now he's going to start going in on this as if he won a debate. Wait for it.
The expert thing and the have you ever been to the region, like, as I said on the show, I go, these are just non-arguments. Like, objectively speaking, you don't win points in a debate for saying this. Like, if you were to take the most generous interpretation of his point there, And which, you know, and it's not just the obvious logical fallacy that it is.
And I have to pause it again because I want you to take a look at the panel. Look at this self-licking lollipop that you have across the screen. Two people flanking him, one to the left and one to the right, that clearly have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And they have this dude in the middle, which I know for a fact has no idea what the hell he's talking about when it comes to warfare, the Middle East, and what Israel is currently dealing with, and the actual threat that Hamas poses to the population. And they're all sitting there nodding and smiling as if they all know what the hell is going on. This is like the definition of the self-licking lollipop.
It's like an appeal to authority. But if you were to take the most generous interpretation would be like, okay, it's important to know what you're talking about. And you can gain insights into something by traveling there and seeing it firsthand. Now, I wouldn't disagree with either of those claims, but the point is that then you got to demonstrate that. Like, okay, if you have a level of expertise that I don't have, and you have insights because you've been there that I don't have, then okay, let's have the debate, and that should show. You know, I said the other day.
Yeah, the only problem is that John Spencer actually laid those things out tonight. He laid those things out for this knucklehead today. On Piers Morgan, he had that debate. And you know what he did? This guy, he ignored it. And instead, he said he had a phone call with some woman that complained about kids being in rubble. That doesn't tell you shit about what took place on the ground. Not a dang thing. That's like saying I spoke to a doctor that said Palestinian kids were getting sniped in the head. You mean to tell me that the doctor inside the hospital is the one that witnessed people getting shot in the head? No. Okay, well, what did he provide you? Well, he provided me these x-ray images. He provided me these freaking brain scans. Okay, well, what do you know about external ballistics? Well, I know for a fact that the 5.56 at 500 meters has the same kinetic energy as a 9mm fire at point blank range, and it'd blow the freaking kid's head clean off. Well, maybe not clean off. Definitely make a decent canoe, entry, exit wound, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But you wouldn't get a perfectly shaped projectile launched in a downward direction through the skull. And these are the people that they put on there.
Hey, it was kind of like, it was almost like if you're like a fighter, like you're a UFC fighter or something, and so you agree to fight someone else, and you're like at Madison Square Garden, the fight, you know, you get introduced, you're about to fight, and like I put up my hands, like, okay, let's fight. And then the other guy puts his hands down and goes, I'm such a better fighter than you. I'm just so much better at fighting.
You're not even
you know?
Really a fighter.
Yeah.
Like, notice how they all key in and laugh and they make statements when it's something that they like maybe think that they can relate to or that they can back up and make a joke about. But when it came him bringing up facts and everything, like none of that shit, they can't do anything. And so when it's a completely irrelevant deal, and by the way, his analogy makes zero sense. None. Because the facts in a debate, those are your hands being up. Those are facts in a debate. And you brought none. You're the idiot that, like, you didn't even have your hands up. You just allowed yourself to get punched in the face over and over, got knocked out, stood up, and then declared yourself the winner after the ref already counted your ass out. Tom Bones, right, left, D-I-K in the middle. Nailed it.
You don't even know your shtick fighting.
But it's like, so come show me, you know? And then it's just all these like, it became clear when I was there that Douglas Murray came to do anything but debate me.
Yeah.
You know, like in my mind,
Anthony,
I was like,
we gotta go to Russian media monitor.
Ukraine
I see you, brother.
And Israel. And then it was like, oh, that's the opposite. And, you know, I did resent. You know, because on the whole topic of like being an expert, I do think it's important, and I think it's lost on some of like the casual viewers, because people will think they'll be like, yeah, Dave's an expert on this, and I'm not. And I was quite comfortable saying that there. Like, I'm not. I'm a commentator. I'm a stand-up comedian. You know. Mm-hmm. But again, Douglas, as you could see in that clip, he doesn't really believe any of the things he's saying.
That's right.
He's look. If you really had a commentators who aren't experts permeate the media, and not just like the new media, like the old legacy media.
Yeah, you know why? Because you idiots are the ones that are appealing to other idiots. And America is getting dumber and dumber and dumber. Everybody wants their confirmation bias. That's why. That's why you morons that flick through TikTok videos and memorize the talking points of whatever goes freaking viral are the ones that are popular. I wonder if he's going to comment about a comment section on a particular YouTube video to try to claim that he wins a debate. Just because it's popular doesn't make it okay. Nazis were popular for a very long time, Dave. That didn't make it okay. Smokey Sergeant says Dave Smith is the equivalent of an armchair commando claiming experience and expertise of the actual experiences of others. Yeah, facts. Only he has none. This is the worst part. And so, yeah, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to tear this freaking dude apart, even though I know it's going to hurt my demographics and my ratings for the day. I don't give a shit. The guy's an idiot and he's standing up for a radical Islamic terror organization. Even though he thinks he's standing up for Palestinians, this knucklehead probably doesn't even know that over 25% of the population directly supports Hamas. Heather Scott, you're so good. You're getting lots of trolls. Yay, I love my trolls.
What do you think, Chris Matthews is an expert on Israel-Palestine? You know, does Douglas Murray have a problem with Bill Maher having a show? Does he have a problem with Dave Rubin having a show? By the way, I'll put my expertise up against those guys any day. And so it's
I am too, Anthony.
You don't really mean this. You don't really have an issue. He didn't have an issue with Coleman Hughes going on Rogan's show and talking about Israel. He's not an expert, and he got everything wrong when he was on there. His issue is that there's people who disagree with Israel coming on.
Yeah.
His issue isn't with the level of expert.
No, his issue is literally with the facts are wrong, dude. That there aren't facts. That they're not facts. That you assert them as facts. John Spencer called you on it today. John Spencer quite literally told you today that he doesn't give a shit that you're not an expert. He doesn't give a shit that you haven't been there. What he cared about was that you are asserting things as facts that are not facts. That's what people are pissed off about. And no matter how many times you're told that, all you're going to do is you're going to sit there and you're going to try to gaslight everybody else into thinking that you weren't told that earlier tonight. It's fucking asinine.
Which he made clear of any of these people.
Well, and I think it's actually quite revealing, in my opinion. Two things I want to say.
Oh, I'm sure it counts.
Number one, what I find so troubling about that line of argumentation is I'm a U.S. taxpayer. We're all U.S. taxpayers. Our money is going to fund this, I would consider, genocidal onslaught in Gaza. I don't get to have an opinion because I haven't been to the crossings.
No, lady, you can have an opinion, but your opinion still can be wrong. It's still stupid, right? It's like a child that wants to cut their boobs off that's 14 years old or 15 years old that thinks they're a female and that they're going to hack their boobs off and it's going to make them happy. And as a society, we stand back and we go, no, I don't think that's correct because this might actually hurt you later on in life. Maybe we ought to protect you a little bit here and tell you don't be cutting your boobs off. Or how about this? Even though you might want to drink at 18 years old legally as an adult, or you might want to go smoke a cigarette, society has decided you don't get the right to do that. You don't. That's what this country has voted on. That is a bigger violation of your civil rights than I think this is. And yet you're upset about it, that your taxpayer dollars are going to fund such a freaking thing. God forbid. God forbid we open the Red Sea. God forbid we do that. God forbid we kill radical Islamic terrorists. And we don't even freaking fund it. We gave them a discount, is what we ended up doing. Infected Mushroom says Douglas wanted his North Korea style tour of the war zone, so he's the authority of what the real and what is propaganda. No, it's not. It's the whole reason I ended up not going to Israel, because I'm not going to go over there for a dang dog and pony show because it's stupid. I don't need to see it. I don't need to go over there and be like, yep, here's an AK that was left on the ground on October 7th inside this kibbutz. I don't need to see it. I know it's going to be there. I don't need to see the pictures. I've seen the videos online that were published by Palestinians. It doesn't make me an expert to go over there and look at it and go, yeah, that's some jacked up shit. I don't need to go over and see it. But what I do need to have is a grasp on what the actual issue is and why it is an existential threat to the state of Israel and to the United States of America. It's pretty clear. And I don't have to go over and stare at a kibbutz. I don't have to go over and stare at a border crossing. I don't have to stare at a fat ass Palestinian over inside of Cairo talking to the freaking French president claiming that all of her people are starving to figure it out. I have to listen to the words of the enemies of the United States of America when they tell me what they want to do. It's pretty simple. And they show me what they want to do. They show the world what they want to do. And currently Iran is trying to show the world what they want to do. And the problem is that pompous assholes like these don't listen. And that is exactly how October 7th happened. They want to sit there and they want to talk about intelligence failures and everything else that ended up taking place. But the sheer fact of the matter is it was this freaking leftist ideology of we can all live in peace and harmony when there's literally people on the other side of the border screaming, I want to kill you. It's like the equivalent of taking a death row inmate that says, yeah, if I get out of here, I'm just going to kill again. And that's being like, meh, he'll probably be okay. And letting him out. Would we ever do that?
Get out of here with that. Like, be for real about what you're actually suggesting here. And it's actually a very common tactic. You hear it from a lot of, like, people who describe themselves as, like, liberal Zionists. Well, it's complicated. You just don't understand. And it's a way to completely shut people down from engaging with this debate at all because they feel like, oh, if I don't have a PhD in all every in and out of this history, which you know much more about and you have the mind to hold all those facts in your heads much more so than I do, but that you feel like if I don't know every single fact that has ever happened and what Bibi Netanyahu said in 1993 in this speech or whatever, then I don't get to have an opinion. Wrong.
Ever wondered what your home looks like from space?
I look at some of this stuff and I listen to some of these people and I question whether or not they have actually looked into it before they have decided to form an opinion, because I think most of them haven't. Fox McCloud says he's played Call of Duty, so obviously he knows what he's talking about, right? This is the bottom line. Now, when you want to get into like international law and you want to go over it and you want to understand what's actually taking place, a couple different things that we end up pulling from. You ready for it? Here we go. Let's have a talk. Article 51, protection of the civilian population. Among others, the following types of attacks are to be considered as indiscriminate: an attack which may be expected to cause incidental loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, damage to civilian objects, or a combination thereof, which would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage anticipated. That comes out of Article 51 from the good old Geneva Conventions. And it's not there that we have to stop at. We have to keep going. Everything ends up getting compiled out of several other freaking manuals. Here we go again. Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court. Intentionally launching an attack in the knowledge that such an attack will cause incidental loss of life or injury to civilians or damage to civilian objects or widespread, long-term, or severe damage to the natural environment, which would be clearly excessive in relation to the concrete and direct overall military advantage anticipated. That is a hell of a word salad, isn't it? But every single one of those words in there has meaning. Now, as Dave so eloquently pointed out earlier on, in his debate with John Spencer, it's not a legal question, it's a philosophical question. And I want you to look at the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court, and I want to go back again, and I want to throw up here the Geneva Convention. Let's talk about why these damn things came to play. Because we didn't used to have them. And we had to sit down, we had to talk like civilized human beings when there wasn't a war, when people weren't dying, and actually decide in war what is acceptable. Because war is different. It's freaking brutal. Teferi, I get that for some reason Israeli lives are worth 6 gorillion or other lives, but even so, why don't you compare civilian deaths for Israel and then the ones Israel's caused since its inception? Because when you compare those two different things, what you're actually looking at is death to death. That's this argument, and I've heard this before. You're going death to death. Well, Israel's killed X amount of people, but look at the amount of Israelis that have been killed. It's far less. Whoop-de-doo. Remind me. remind me, please. When is war supposed to be fair? Who has won a war by being perfectly fair and proportional? Overwhelming violence every single time wins battles. Overwhelming violence every single time wins a battle. Somebody saying all wars are illegal. No, they're not. That's like saying all killings are illegal. No, they're not. Killing people is legal. There is this thing that's called an affirmative defense to homicide. Every time you kill somebody, it's a homicide, and then you have to have a freaking affirmative defense to homicide. Self-defense being one of them. There is legal ways that all of this stuff goes about. And yeah, as Fox McCloud just so eloquently stated down in the comment section, it's not a boxing match. And it's not as simple as some people like to freaking boil it down to. There is a radical ideology, not just inside of Gaza, but across all of the Middle East, that thinks Israel shouldn't exist. And denying that fact is absolute lunacy because it's in black and white. And because the leaders of other nations have stood there and shouted it at the top of their lungs that are trying to develop nuclear weapons. And people in this chat want to downplay it and pretend like it's not a problem. Like somehow it's not going to affect America, or somehow it's not going to echo its way back here, or somehow that Russia doesn't have its freaking pee-pee in it. This is the current front of all of this freaking axis of evil, as far as I'm concerned. Ukraine's got a freaking nut roll going on in the east, but they have a nice defensive line. And what you're seeing right now, what's taking place over there, is offensive action in order to cut the head off of the freaking snake, to screw over Russian supply lines, to screw over Iranian supply lines, to screw over the freaking Houthis supply lines, and to get rid of Hamas. It's pretty damn easy. Anthony says, those saying Israel existed caused deaths that were not British peeps running around in 47. Should study actual history and kiss your booty. Yeah. All right. Caught up on the comments there. Now, I'm sorry that a lot of these words have offended a lot of you people, but let's go back to law. There's the Rome Statute. First, you had the Geneva Conventions that were up. And then we can go again. State of Israel, Ministry of Affairs. Proportionality under the laws of armed conflict. An attack against a military target must accord with the rule of proportionality, according to which it is prohibited to carry out an attack when the expected incidental loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, or damage to civilian objects would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage that is anticipated from the attack. The military advantage that the IDF is seeking include destroying enemy military structures. Why would all of that be in there? And you notice how all of the words and all of these different legal documents that we're looking at when it goes to proportionality and everything else end up echoing back off of each other, but all of the same legal jargon and language is included in there. Why? Why? It's all the same shit, and everybody's piggybacking off the same stuff that all goes into the law of armed conflict. Violation thereof. And looking at proportionality is not looking at proportionality for the entire conflict. It's for that particular target. What is taking place on that particular target? Who are these individuals being targeted? What weapon systems do they have? What are the ramifications if we do not target it immediately? How many civilians are going to end up dying? Early on in the conflict, people were griping pretty hard about the artificial intelligence that Israel had developed to figure out how many people are inside of a building. If you've ever sat there and watched freaking drone footage or ISR footage and tried to keep track of everybody that's going in and out, it's a pain in the butt to figure out who's actually in that building. Then couple in the fact that you have tunnels and all of that other garbage, yeah, it makes sense for the AI to figure out who the hell is in and out of there. And when you have strikes like the one that I shared earlier in this podcast, where there's massive amounts of ammunition that are built up and freaking stockpiled, and you end up dropping a bomb on it, number one, you have no idea most of the time how much shit is actually stored in those stockpiles. And when you put those stockpiles in the middle of freaking civilian infrastructure and they get struck, number one, it's no longer civilian infrastructure. But number two, you're rolling the dice. And so when people throw out things like proportionality in that one airstrike alone, it's annoying. Because they act like a 500-pound bomb, number one, is 500 pounds. I've had people try to tell me that 2,000-pound bunker busters will knock people over just from the freaking shock of the bomb smacking into the ground from 800 meters away. The amount of lunacy that's taking place on this other side is beyond all freaking belief. Combatants must refrain from attacks in which the expected loss of civilian life, injury to civilians, and damage to civilian objects incidental to the attack would be excessive in relation to the concrete and direct military advantage expected to be gained. What do you think that military advantage is? What if you were to take this and you were to apply it across the entire theater? You can't. Because it's silly, because then you could justify a bunch of other things. So it goes down to specific engagements at a specific period of time and what exactly was taking place. People that want to complain about children, as if children over there don't have guns. How many people were denying that Hamas had child soldiers until they showed the funeral videos and then ignored the fact that Hamas had children running around with guns in uniform? How many people can tell me the official number of Hamas fighters that Hamas has claimed have died? Anybody? How many people can tell me the official number of Hamas fighters that the Gaza Health Ministry has claimed? How many people can tell me whether or not the Palestinian Authority knows whether or not that 16-year-old kid is a enemy combatant or a child? You know what the number one age demographic is for your standard Hamas fighter right now inside of Gaza? And I want you to think about this. It's not 18, it's not 20, and it's not 25. 16. 16 years old. Some of you guys might sit here and shit your pants and say, oh my God, I can't believe that that's an actual thing. And then I want you to remember that you can join the United States military at 17. So 16 isn't that far off. But the intellectual dishonesty of people claiming that they're children that are over there doing these things, I still think they're kids. That doesn't make them any less lethal, and it doesn't make them any less responsible for picking up a firearm. And the law of armed conflict, I don't know if you've read it, in, like, anybody see an age limit in here? Anybody? I am so sick of the stupidity. When are we going to stop platforming these ridiculous human beings and actually allow people with common sense to go and speak on things that need spoken about? It needs to end. And the cancel culture that is so rampant within the left and the Palestinians and all of these other pieces of shit wanting to go around and scream about how they are oppressed and everything else. And they'll go and they'll freaking bot and they'll spam people. I had some woman threaten to cut my head off on a TikTok live session because I explained why so many kids were dying in Gaza. I had somebody threaten to cut my head off because I stated facts as to why so many kids were dying in Gaza. How nuts is this population, ladies and gentlemen? I appreciate you guys for joining me for another episode. It's about to get real. It is. It's not going to take much time. I think the White House reversing their statement and everything that they had coming out today, talking about how, no, Iran's not going to have a nuclear weapons program. This speaks volumes. Steve Witkoff made a mistake. If you didn't know it, there's people in the SecDef's teams right now whose heads are rolling, literally getting relieved, fired, whatever, for having intelligence leaks and things. Give it some time. It's coming. Until tomorrow.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.